Welcome. I'm Danielle Sally.
And I'm Eva Foussaud.
And you're listening to Ghost Boss, stories about the freelance afterlife. Hey, ghosties.
Hi.
Hi. Hi, Eva. How are you doing?
I was supposed to open the podcast.
She still won't.
I can't.
Also, fun fact, it occurred to me, we didn't record this part, but Eva's the one that came up with, hey, ghosties.
I did. I don't remember it.
I know. I was like, she really hates it for something she came up with.
But like, I just said it. Like, it's just a thought that came out of my brain.
It's okay.
I didn't pitch it.
And people love it.
Do they?
I think so. It's getting, okay. I like the feedback we're getting.
Okay. Now it's just a little bit of a thing.
Well, you saw one of our listeners, Melissa, did that illustration that said hashtag ghosties. So now it's really a thing. I might have to ask her if I could share that on our social channels.
Yes.
Everyone can own it.
Okay. Maybe I'll get there. I'll get there. Hi, everyone.
Hi.
We've had a morning.
We've had one of the best sound checks to date.
Y'all are going to see it. It's going to be.
And not best by it went well.
No, it went poorly.
Most entertaining sound check. I will make sure to post it
I hope y'all like hearing us cackle because
and it's truly cackling.
It really is.
Not laughing.
It is 40% of our brand.
Oh, yeah. I would agree with that.
Yeah. Yes.
We're like, what's it called?
Are we birds? Are we hens?
I was thinking screaming banshees, but we're laughing banshees.
I don't want to be a banshee.
Oh, well, why not?
I'm a bird. We already talked about
this. I'll be a banshee.
It's a weird relationship we're going to have. Anywho. Hi, everyone.
Hi.
So we have a topic today. We always do.
Yes, we do.
Part of podcasting.
Planned with topics.
Somewhat. But we're going to start, we like to catch up. Danielle, yes. How are you?
I'm in recovery mode.
Yes.
Okay. So I was thinking about it. We are recording this May 1. I always enjoy
May 1.
It. May 1.
May 1st?
Okay, May 1st. Listen,
this
I will
is
get
May
into
1.
It. I guess I do. May 1, day 1. I'm in special form. April killed me.
She's doing great.
Deal. Here's the deal. I had 3 work trips in April.
Mm-hmm. One was with me.
One was with you. One was to Amarillo, Texas. Oof. One was in New York City. I'm fresh off of that one. And when you have social anxiety, it's basically, that's kind of the equivalent to 6 work trips in a month.
And you're introverted. So your battery drains fast.
Introverted
and
plus
it's hard
social
to, like,
anxiety.
Recharge it.
So usually when I come back, I know I need a day to recharge, but man, I've needed a couple days off this last one.
Boo bear.
I think just because it was like, go, go, go. Like, I didn't even fully unpack from one trip.
Why?
Before I went to the other trip.
Why?
I still haven't unpacked from New York fully. I'll get there. It's fine. And I had the best time. It was fantastic. We had our meetings at Bloomberg in New York City, which was just super cool.
It looks so fancy.
They had such a cool view of the Chrysler building.
Yeah.
I loved it. And then we went to the Advertising Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm.
I did not have this on my New York bingo card.
Ooh.
I saw Shaggy and Queen Latifah.
Ooh.
That was not, did not know about that, but that I truly, one of AAF, American Advertising Federation's, one of their.
I love that you always say it out.
Some people don't know.
If they are on episode 25 of Ghost Boss, I think they know what AAF stands for.
Get the new ones in and make them members.
Yeah. Anyways, proceed.
But it's one of their truly best events. And it's just so inspiring. And it's just, you just leave in goosebumps. It's just such an amazing event. But it was a lot. And we stayed an extra day in New York. We went to one of my friends and I, Stephanie, we went to Sweeney Todd. We went to Museum of Broadway. Mm-hmm. We did all the things. It was great. But by the time I got back, I was useless. So pair that with then Monday comes around. Eva, I have somehow lined up, like, within the past 2 days, I've had 5 new client meetings.
Mm-hmm. Because when else would you have done them? Because you've been traveling.
Right. I did some in while I was in New York.
But right. But you push it off.
So I've been meeting. So I literally this whole time. And we had, my daughter had gymnastics and she had her Girl
she had
Scouts.
Something last night, right?
She had a Girl Scout ceremony. Yeah. She bridged over to being, she went from a brownie to a junior. It's a big thing.
Okay.
Long story short, my whole mindset was I just got to get to Wednesday.
So then we walk in this morning. What did you say to me?
I don't know.
You were like, you said, you're like, it's been a couple of days. I mean, like, and I just, I'm still needing to recharge. And you're like, you know how that is. And I was like, I do not know.
No, she has no idea. I have no idea. So I keep having to tell her, like, basically how, like, that's why I use the comparison, like 3 work trips is probably like 6 or 7 to you.
But not even that, because work trips make me energized. And
I love the traveling part, but when I get home, I just want to, I want to do nothing. I want to put on no makeup. I want to sit there. I want to just relax.
If I could pay somebody just to deal with the logistics.
Yeah, right.
Like, I don't need downtime. I just need somebody to unpack my stuff.
Yeah, that part. I hate that part. It's the worst.
And then, so Danielle needs some recharge time because she was traveling all weekend. Yes. I had food poisoning all weekend.
You also need recharge.
No, it's the opposite. I have been in my house.
Oh, you're ready to go.
I'm ready to roll.
Oh, man.
It's the first day that I've felt human in like 5 days.
I love it.
So I'm ready to go.
We are in rare form today.
I'm upright and not just scrolling TikTok until I fall asleep.
There you go.
Like I did for a couple of days.
We're here.
We're doing it.
Okay.
Okay.
So what's our topic today?
I know, because Danielle's like, you're in charge. I was like, fantastic. So I wanted to talk today because I've had some individual conversations with people about this recently, and it got me thinking. And so I know my answers to these, so I want to know your answers.
Yeah.
I think it's interesting. I want to talk about your creative process.
Yes.
Like, how do you do what you do? And like, what does your process look like? And I think this is going to like offshoot into a lot of different.
Not with us.
Never. We're going to cackle a lot. But yeah, I want to kind of get into like, and I'm just going to ramble off some questions now and then we'll just jump
in. Yeah, I like that. Let's do it.
But yeah, I want to talk about like, do you start on a computer or do you start like sketching? Do you always need to go pull inspiration? Do you have inspiration on standby?
Yeah.
What does your process look like when you're on the computer, right? Do you keep your old stuff?
Yeah.
And then
maybe like, does that process look differently depending on the project you're working on?
Yeah.
I'd say my print process might look different than my UX process.
Yeah, for sure. And then, and I want to talk a little bit about like, giving yourself, I'm sure we both do this, but like, if you don't do this, or if you're a younger designer and you're still, or a younger creative and you're still figuring out, like, I feel like there's a really fine balance between like giving yourself the grace to like, make ugly stuff.
Yeah, let's talk about that.
But then also
being
critical enough of yourself to like call it out that it's not ready. And like, how do you like, because we've been doing this for a long time and I feel like I have a good like handle on that now, but it's something that like I didn't always have a good handle on. Like,
right.
There's, can you be too critical of yourself? Are you not critical enough? And like, how do you find that balance?
Sure.
So like, I want to unpack all
like
of that.
I like that.
Yeah.
So I really appreciate that you want to talk about this process, because one thing I like about this podcast is we started it only months after I started freelancing full time and starting my own company. So in a way, this has kind of been like a diary of my business. And I've talked about before how I had to kind of reteach myself some things.
Yeah.
And some of that has been flexibility, things with my schedule, things like that, because I kind of lost control over a couple of things.
Sure.
And when you told me you wanted to talk about this process, one thing I thought about is I've had to reteach myself how to truly embrace the creative process.
Aww.
And what I mean by that is I think I was going down this path where it was just execute fast, execute quickly, get it done.
Mm-hmm.
And you sacrifice the creative process sometimes when you do that. And some things do need to get done quickly.
But sometimes they don't.
But sometimes they don't. And so my brain was starting to be wired to think everything needed
flip
to get
it.
Done
just
quickly.
Flip it. Get it out. Get it out the door. We gotta
go. So I wouldn't allow myself to maybe spend more time on things. What's interesting that I realized I did was I tried to think about what I did when I was a student and what my professors would have me do and sketch things out, think things through, all of that. And
like by hand.
By hand, embrace it a little bit more. Because I got really bad, but I used to sketch all the time. And then I got to the point, I just never sketched. I went straight to the computer every single time. And I might look up inspiration. I do that still a lot. I might instantly start with trying to find inspiration, maybe see what the competitor's doing, kind of see like, what's the space already look like?
Right.
And then dive into it. So I've been in this interesting journey where I'm trying to get more deep into my creative process.
Yeah.
A lot of that, I like going on Instagram and there's some great designers out there that they post their process.
Yeah.
And I'm in my head, I'm like, oh, I could never do these videos. And like, of course they're all edited, sure. Right. Their process.
They're highlight reels. All of social media is a highlight reel. Y'all like we do it. They do it. Everyone does it to like,
because the thing you don't see on these beautiful reels of process, you don't see the ugly stuff. And we all make ugly stuff.
I have a whole thing about that in a second.
We need to dive into this because
make ugly stuff.
You have to make ugly stuff. And I will say, and I'll end with this, not end, we're going to talk more. One piece of advice a professor gave me at SCAD was get your first idea out on paper and then throw it away. Because
if it's the good one?
Because if it was your first idea, it was more than likely everyone's first idea. So just get it out on paper, not throw it away, move it aside.
Okay.
And keep pushing yourself to do something better.
Okay.
Yes.
I'm not going to throw it away.
I've remembered that to this day.
I'm not going to throw it away.
Yeah. Okay. Well, just kind of like put a pin in it.
Interesting.
Yes.
Fascinating,
isn't it?
So when I was in school, first off, I came to design through art, but I came to it through photography. I'm not good at drawing.
Sure.
I tell people all the time that I almost failed the one drawing class I had to take in college, and people always look at me and I'm like,
well, what is it about being a graphic designer and everyone expects you to draw?
Right. I was like,
We can't all draw well.
I'm not an illustrator.
No.
I actually said this to somebody, like I was standing in a room with a bunch of other designers when I said it, and I was like, Kate Maloney is right there.
Yes.
If you need an illustrator, go get Kate Maloney. Yeah, like,
talk,
she's great.
To her.
Right. And this class I'm talking about was like a true like drawing class. Like, here's a sketchbook and a pencil and off you go.
Yes.
And if you can do that, that's fantastic. It's just not where my skill set is. And I'm
jealous of it.
Right.
It's wonderful.
It's great. It's just not. Now, I did well in my painting classes.
Yeah.
I didn't take a single art class the whole time I was in high school. I didn't take an art class till I got to college.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, I did not realize that. Wow.
But then I competed in the Sidewalk Art Show.
Yeah.
Every year in high school.
So
like I was doing art.
Fascinating.
It's because also the foundations that got me to design was I wrote a lot. I was a writer. I competed to be the junior poet laureate for South Carolina.
Of course,
when I was in high school.
Of course you did.
They could take up to 10 students a year. They only took 6 the year that I competed. Ooh. I didn't win, but it really was like an honor to be selected.
Oh,
like
course.
It was like a really big deal.
Yeah.
To go. I missed the Sidewalk Art Show that year to go compete. Anyways. So I was a writer who liked photography, which brought me to the Art and Literary Magazine, which is how I learned to design. So I just came to it like from just a different perspective.
Sure.
So I get to college and I start taking design classes, and like my first design class, like they don't let me touch a computer.
Yeah.
Which I get.
Totally get it.
But also I then graduated and had self-taught myself all the programs.
Okay.
And that, right.
Yeah, you know my feelings.
There's fine. I understand the foundations of I learned composition and color theory and typography in other ways.
Yes.
I understand the inclination to like get us to not rely on technology and get us to do it with our hands. And like, I get all of that,
yes.
But like also somebody could have taught me the right way to do some of this stuff, because it, like 2 or 3 years into my career. Now, some of it I knew already. Some of it I just figured out. But I had like a boss have to teach me. And then later I was a manager having to teach designers.
My Photoshop professor, because I had a whole class on it.
Yeah.
I remember we had like a pop quiz on keyboard shortcuts to tools.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I still work that way.
Yeah.
It was probably the best thing.
I used to ask, I had a job interview once where one of the questions, like you submitted your resume and your portfolio, and then they sent you a bunch of, they called you with questions.
Yeah.
It was like 10 and you had to answer them on the phone and then they would schedule your interview. And one of the questions was, about the DPI for different uses. So like, what DPI does your photo need to be for web? And what DPI does your photo need to be for magazine? And what's it need to be for newspaper? Because those two DPIs are different. They're two different print DPIs.
Right.
One is 300, one is 150. Web is 72. I still remember. anyways, so that is a roundabout way to saying that I kind of patchwork learned my creative process. And so now, and then once I got out and working, nobody was checking on me.
No, like,
nobody cares how you do it. So I'm a mixed bag. Like sometimes I sketch.
Yeah.
Even though I can't really draw. I can sketch.
Oh, no one should see my sketches.
No.
But that's clear.
But I can, I mean, they make sense. You can tell what they're supposed to be. It's interesting. I now sketch on my Remarkable.
Okay.
Yeah. Because they have a storyboard layout and I can flip kind of quickly and then I can export it up onto my computer and I can look at it. Sometimes I sketch right away. Sometimes I just open the InDesign file.
I go right to the computer a lot.
If it is in my brain.
Yeah.
Like I particularly start sketching first if I don't really have a full direction yet.
Yeah.
But if it's in my brain.
Well, too. You know, you and I, we both kind of said we're not illustrators by trade. And sometimes for me, it's faster to get the idea out of my brain if I'm on my computer because I work better with those tools.
Right.
I work better with a mouse in my hand than a pencil.
Right.
So sometimes I want to get into Illustrator.
Yes.
Play with some things.
Yes.
And before, like, it just bypass the sketching process.
Yes.
I do that a lot because that's just how I operate.
Yeah. Do you ever go back? So I do this sometimes where I start with an InDesign file because I get the scope or we've had the meeting or whatever and I've got something in my brain, or we had the meeting 3 days ago and I see something, I'm like, oh my God, that's what I want to do with the thing.
Yeah.
And so like I go and I like slam something out, something real ugly, in Illustrator. And then I look at it and then I find myself sketching based on what I put on the computer. So do you ever bounce back and forth?
Yeah. Definitely. Yeah. Not a whole lot do I, but then sometimes if I sketch, it's usually when I'm away from my desk and an idea just popped up.
Oh, no, I do it in front of a computer.
No, it's usually when I got
or sometimes
away
in my bed.
You know, I do have to mention this. I love when our listeners reach out to me. And they're like, I'm Eva in this case. I'm Danielle in
Who's
this case.
Who's me?
So I had a friend reach out and she was like, I have design logos in the bathtub. But she did clarify it was by sketching it. She doesn't have her whole computer in there. She's like, that's a risk I'm not willing to take.
No. I'm like, if I drop this stack of papers in here, who cares?
Conversation just reminded me. But yeah, so if I'm sketching, it's usually because I have left my office and I'm away from my laptop, but I just have an idea that I need it out of my head and I need it.
Yes.
I need it on something.
I need it. Yes.
I need to visually see it outside of my head.
I used to sketch randomly.
Yeah.
Like when I was in my 20s, like I remember I'd be like out with my friends and something would occur to me and I would like grab like a napkin and like find a pen in my purse.
Isn't that funny?
And I would sketch and I would come home after the end of the night or like I'd wake up in the morning, I'd look in my bag and I'd find like some crumpled like, you know, $1 bills and like a random 20. And then like, here's five cocktail napkins where Eva's thinking about some random thing that she's working on. And my friends were like, this is so weird. I'm like, you're an accountant. Shut up.
You don't get it. Sketch all the time. Like when I mentioned this, when I'm in class, like I used to just sketch all the time.
I used to draw constantly.
Anymore.
I used to
guess I don't have paper in front of me as much anymore. And I'm just sitting still with paper in front of me.
Yeah.
You know, because then I'm just looking at it like this paper needs ink on it.
Yeah. I have this pattern that I used to like draw on everything.
Yeah.
I don't really know how to describe it. I mean, like I would draw it on everything. I'll find it or I'll draw it.
And
you can put it in the Photos Without Context post.
Oh yeah, please.
I'll either find an old one or I'll make one. But I draw it in the margins of my notebooks. I would draw it on Notepad. For a while, I could tell if people had my old books. In college, it never happened, but in high school it did, because I would draw it like all like on the inside of the covers, and so like I'd be sitting like in the library and I'd look over and somebody would have like it'd be this big design. But yeah, maybe I wonder if this is it. It's because we're not in school all day.
Yeah,
listening, because I would find myself sketching and like doodling and all that kind of stuff when I was listening to people.
Yes.
And now I'm not listening to people like that as much.
No.
If I am, I'm on a call where I can't be looking down and doing that.
Or I'm at a conference. I'm not necessarily like in a classroom type setting.
It feels different at a conference. I did find myself in Richmond.
Yeah.
Inclined to do it as I was listening to somebody, because I had my Remarkable in front of me in case I wanted to take notes.
Sure. Or draw.
But just like in college, it's like, or draw. Two things. The Remarkable does not feel the same.
Yeah.
When I'm just kind of like drawing into oblivion.
Okay. I have, maybe this is a hot take.
Ooh. Do I need to swoop in?
Fly in.
Hold up.
I have two things. So one, when you are writing, what's your writing instrument of choice? Is this not something you think about?
No, I don't understand the question.
Like,
if I'm writing in a notebook,
are you a pencil?
No.
Do you a pen?
No. I like a real liquidy ink.
Oh, like a gel pen.
Yeah. Like a good gel pen. I got some glitter gel pens. Oh no, they're terrible because the little glitter pieces get stuck and then you can't.
Oh, that
do
is
the
annoying.
Thing.
I like a good flow of a pen.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh no, a pencil. I used to work with somebody who only used pencils.
I can't.
Every time I was in her office, I was like, you look like we're in middle school. Like, what is happening?
Everything I'm writing down is going to be permanent.
Well, she was like, what do you do if you make a mistake? I was like, I scribble through it.
Journaling. No one else is looking at this.
No, I was journaling when I woke up this morning. With a nice gel pen and like a blank black notebook. It's next to my bed. And I like miswritten. I have a certain way, like I scribble it out. Like you just scribble it out.
Okay. So in the next one, I want to ask you.
What's this?
I didn't even think about this until someone asked us in Richmond.
Oh. Have I heard this question then?
You have, but
I
want to talk about it with our listeners, because I did not even think about it, but I do this all the time.
I have no idea what you're going to ask me.
When you open a notebook, do you write on the first page?
Oh my God. Yes, I do. Y'all are so weird.
Someone asked us this when we were in Richmond and I thought about it and I'm like, no, I never write on the first page of a notebook ever.
That's wild. So, all right, back up. I used to only, back when I kept a bunch of notebooks, I don't do it now because they're just, I have so many.
Yeah.
I just don't. And you all have heard me talk about the digital switch and all that kind of stuff. But I used to have, Moleskines were my favorite notebooks.
Yeah.
I had so many of them. Now, when you first open a Moleskin, there's like a title page.
Yeah.
And that page is not lined and it's a heavier weight. And the way it's kind of like bound in is different.
That I prefer that.
That is like a title page.
Yeah, I want a title page.
I'm not
going to
write on that. But if you hand me a spiral notebook, but let's say you've given me one and I have accepted this gift reluctantly. I guess not all Moleskines were bound like that, but a lot of notebooks are. But let's say you open it and it is just a lined page.
Yeah.
It's not a heavier weight. It's not weirdly bound. You know what I'm talking about, where it's like bound a little bit. It's not weirdly bound. Like it's just, it's there. Yeah. Why don't you just write on it?
No, I need.
It's the best page to write on.
No, it's not. If I'm writing on it, it will be a title page. I will make it a title page. Danielle's notebook. I don't want anything on that first page. I want a clean looking page and then chaos anthems in a notebook. I just thought, I was like, man, I never really thought about it before, but I guess there's more of us.
That is,
listen,
so weird.
The one thing I've learned on this podcast is I say all my weird little quirks and people come out of the woodworks and they're like, me too. And there's not many of us.
No, there's not, because y'all are weird. This is strange behavior.
I'm going to go back and look at all my notebooks and see how many of them have actually touched that first page. I would say not many.
All of them.
And especially none with a pencil.
No, I'm not going to do a pencil.
No. Even if I'm sketching, I sketch in a pen.
I know you don't read a lot. Did you used to read a lot before?
No.
You've never been much of a reader?
Never been much of a reader.
So did you ever physically carry around a book?
okay, no.
So I like telling this story. When I was in journalism school, it has nothing to do with being in journalism school. It just happens to be where I was in college. I used to write in everything, and yep. I would write in my books because I would underline stuff and make notes in the margins.
Yeah, sure.
And so I would write in my books all the time with pen. and I was in a class once and I needed somebody's contact information. It was like somebody speaking at the front of the class. Yeah. And he was like, yeah, why don't you write down my email address? I was like, okay. And I had a novel on my desk because I'd been reading before the class started. And I opened it to the title page and picked up my pen. And he just stared at me and I was like, what's your email address? He goes, are you going to write in your book? I was like, yes. He goes, you're going to write my email address in like on the title page.
I love that.
Of a book.
I love that he stopped everything and be like, we need to dive into this.
I was like, yes. And he goes,
that he man horrified. Needs to be a guest on the podcast.
He was horrified. Because like, if you read a lot, this is another,
yeah.
I'm going to have to talk about this with like a guest, because if you read a lot, most people are doing digital now in some capacity.
Right.
But if you ever toted around physical books all the time, there is a lot of like,
yeah.
Are books sacred? Do you break the spine? Do sure. you like, I don't use bookmarks. I just like earmark the page. Ooh. I'll scribble in it.
Oh, I like, yeah. I prefer a bookmark.
Nope.
I don't want to bend that page.
Nope.
I used to bend the page. I don't like to anymore.
No. They're not sacred. Books are sacred to take in. They are not sacred to hold.
Though I do like when I get a library book by someone who did earmark the page, because then I'm like, huh, they chose to stop here. What a weird place to stop.
One of my favorite books is all banged up and it's all like, my friend borrowed it. Well, I have more than one book like this where it's been dropped in the ocean. Yeah. Because I read at the beach, and like one of my favorite books, like it's all like wrinkly because I dropped it in the water and it's fine. And I kept reading it. It'll dry out. It's paper.
Sure.
But my friend borrowed a book and she's like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. I dropped it. I just got a little bit on it, but I'll buy you new. And I was like, ma'am, come see my collection of how I treat my stuff.
Sure.
So we have deviated, but I don't care.
We have, but I kind of wanted to also get into, you know, and it could be on reading and things like that. But do you ever, through your creative process, we've talked about this before, where some days you're just not feeling creative.
Yeah.
Are there things that you make a point to do that, like, if you're going through the creative process and you hit that wall,
yeah,
that you make a point to do so that you can come back to it?
Yeah. Well, it's interesting. This is something I've been thinking about anyways. I was listening to some old episodes that we recorded. And at the beginning, I was talking about how, like, I listened to a lot of books and, like, watched a lot of shows. For the last, like, 2 or 3 months, I've been listening to music instead of like doing anything else. And so I might have to break down and make a Spotify playlist.
I think you should.
I mean, because it's gotten like the last couple months, it's been struggle bus.
Yeah.
So anyways, I say that because sometimes like if I can't do it, but I have to do it.
Yeah.
I got a nest.
Yep.
And I got to put on music. And maybe that's why I've been listening to more music lately than like, not that I listened to a lot of music before that. It's just, I haven't listened to an audiobook in almost 2 months.
Wow.
Because I've just been really into all my music lately.
Yeah.
Anyways, I am less likely to get distracted if I listen to music.
Yeah.
And so part of it is like, all right, get yourself comfortable. Turn off all your notifications.
Yeah.
I turned off the thing on my desktop where the email pops up.
Mm, yeah.
Turn everything, close every app that you're not actively using.
Yeah.
Open some music, do that. And then just sit here.
Yes.
And the only thing you can pick up other than your mouse is a pencil and like, or not a pencil, but a pen.
Yeah, like you're not touching a pencil.
No, I'm not. I don't have one. Like people will, like if somebody's doing like some work in my house and they need to mark something on the wall, they're like, do you have a pencil? I'm like
no.
5,000 Sharpies. Like, what use is that? I was like, lots of use.
Lots of uses.
But anyways, yeah. So I make like a space where like I can't get distracted.
Yeah.
But then if I have to stop and come back.
Yeah. You're like, do you stop?
I try not to. I mean,
If I'm really
running,
feeling it,
I'm running.
Yeah, I'll keep going.
I really, really, really try not to.
Yeah. So this month, I just posted about this on my Instagram. And because April was so go, go, go. Mm-hmm. Like I told you, I'm running on fumes right now.
Mm-hmm.
And
you're doing great.
I'm here.
You're doing great.
I'm wearing my Feast Mode shirt.
You're doing great.
But like, I kind of decided, all right, I needed, I needed to kind of set small goals to make big changes.
Mm-hmm.
So I decided in May, and I posted it. So now I'm holding myself accountable and I'm going to keep posting it. But I decided that, okay, every day I'm going to kind of start the day walking or running 1 mile.
Mm-hmm.
And because I find I'm more likely to get my workout in, whether it be a strength workout, whether it be what have you, a more intense cardio, if I at least get my body moving.
Okay.
But on top of that, I find it also kind of gets my brain going with more creativity if I kind of just get myself moving. So I feel like the whole month of April, I've just been so go, go, go. So by the time I get back to my computer and I am sitting down and I'm doing work, I'm just tired. I'm exhausted. Mm-hmm. And then I'm not really feeling the creativity.
Right.
So this month, I'm trying to make a point to get my body moving.
Yeah.
Prior to sitting down and getting work done.
Okay.
And we're going to see how this goes. Okay. I'm going to keep doing it.
Yeah.
I'm sharing on my personal, so you guys won't see it.
But we'll check in. We'll check in.
Maybe at the end of the month, I'll put an update on Ghost Boss.
So as usual, there is not method to my madness.
Yeah.
For like, just because I get a full night's sleep or I like do my yoga in the morning or like, you know, I use my lavender oil before I go to sleep.
I love
the thing that I do. Doesn't mean that tomorrow I'm going to like be in the headspace.
Yeah.
It's always so funny because when you describe your process, I'm like, she really is the Tetris block. Like, it's just how your brain works. And I'm just wandering around over here and I'm like, ooh.
Because you're a bird. You're a sandpiper.
I'm a bird. Is that what they're called?
Yeah, I looked it up. You're a sandpiper.
I'm a sandpiper. Like, I'm just wandering around like, oh, my brain wants to go do the creative thing. Move.
Move. Get out of my way.
Sit down. I gotta go. And it's where like my ability to be really flexible and move stuff around comes in helpful, because when I have those moments and I'm like, I'm in it.
Right.
I don't need a timer. I don't need to like keep myself from getting distracted. Like, I'm just, because I talk a lot about, it probably sounds like y'all, like I have a hard time always doing it. And that's not true, because I think it's important to share like how I make myself get on track when I need to, but sometimes it just happens. Like sometimes I just sit down and I'm like, and we're off and we're just going to do it. And it's just going to be a thing.
Yes.
It was like that Sunday. And I just was like, hitting everything that I needed to do.
You just got
to
go with it.
And so I just feel like just a lot of ebbs and flows in my brain.
Well, and I think in general, that's normal.
Is that the Pisces in me?
That might be.
I'm just like
a little water sign there.
I got to catch this. I'm like, look at that wave. I'm going to catch that one.
Maybe that's why I think everything's always on fire. Because I'm an Aries.
Okay. But yeah, so I just, now to be clear, lots of sleep, doing yoga, going on my walks, setting myself up to be in my best headspace will always produce more opportunities for me to be creative.
For sure.
But it's real fickle. I mean, like last night, like I had a lot of stuff to do yesterday.
Yeah.
Because I just had a lot going on today and I was sick for 3 days. So it's like catching up. Like I just had a lot going on.
Yeah.
And, I was like, all right, I need to do like these two or three like personal things before I go to bed. And I was like, and I knew I needed to get up early this morning for some stuff for my son. And I was like, but I need to get a little bit of work done.
Right.
And so I worked until in my office.
Yay. There you go.
Because I had a bunch of stuff to do and I was like, I'm just going to go sit in my office. In fact, when I left to go pick up my son from school, I did not turn anything off on my desk.
Yeah.
I left my water cup like on my desk. I left like the light on.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm going to come back.
I'm going to come back in here.
It was a little after 11.
Yeah.
And I could have still worked for another couple of hours. I made myself stop because I knew I had to get up at 6. And I was like, by the time I put the dogs in their beds and I, you know, lock up and I get in my bed and I like start to lay down, it's going to be after midnight.
Yep.
And then sure enough, my like phone this morning was like, you only got 5 hours of actual sleep last night.
I do. I'll have nights like that where I'm just like, I'm in it, but then I have to tell myself,
I have to tell
like,
myself
you have
to stop,
to go to bed.
When I laid down last night, and this is not usually how it is.
Yeah.
Usually when I work late, like I stop because I'm tired. Like there's a natural break where I'm just really tired now.
Sure.
But I was laying in bed last night. It was a little after midnight when I finally was starting to fall asleep. or no, it was a little after midnight when I laid down and I was like, I could get up. Like I could,
yeah,
I want to get back up and go do work, but I was like, I can't because I have to get up early.
Yeah.
And like, it's just not going to help. I'm not going to sleep well if I go stare at a computer screen. So yeah, it's just, I'm telling you, it's creativity. She be fickle.
Yep. She fickle.
She fickle like that. So one more thing. I know we talked a lot today, but one more thing. Where do you find your inspiration?
So for me, I thought about it more as we were talking. You know, where I love starting is typography. Hmm. I usually start there because I will spend hours looking at.
Because you love a sexy crossbar.
Yes.
I Instagram DM'd another designer yesterday. Yeah. He posted something and I was like, I don't know what this is, but that crossbar is sexy.
Right. Like I find myself, that's kind of where I start most times. Mm-hmm. And then the ideas start flowing.
Yeah.
Because if the font's not right.
Yep.
Nothing's right.
That's right.
And the font is going to set the tone for everything.
Yeah.
So I find myself a lot of times spending majority of my time working on what the typeface will look like, all that will look like before I really get into too much else. So I
in UX as well, or like in branding.
So it depends what I'm doing with UX. With UX,
because your options are.
Yeah,
smaller,
UX, right? I usually start mostly on thinking about architecture and the content that is going to be on the site.
Yeah.
And then that can be a whole other conversation. But then I really think mostly about like the visual hierarchy of everything, like what needs to be most important and where the user is going to go and all of that. And then kind of add like then think about the design next.
Yeah.
Because I want to focus on the user experience before I actually dive into design. But if I'm working on branding project or I'm working on a print project, I tend to lean towards working on the typography a lot first.
Yeah.
So I would say that.
We're the same.
Yay.
Yeah.
I start. This never happens.
Yeah. Type first, man. Type first.
Right.
I own an obscene amount of fonts.
Oh, I've never counted. I don't want to count. I don't think I want to know.
Grotesque.
Yeah.
How many fonts?
I like what you did there. Hey! Designer jokes.
So many. Yes. So many. And like, they're just so easy to find now.
Yeah.
And
do you have any that are like your go-tos that you just love them so much? You keep like, it might just be what you use for body copy a lot because it just looks so good.
I have been, and this will change every few months.
Yeah.
I've been doing a lot of stuff for a serif type. I've been doing a lot of stuff in Laura.
Mm, yep.
And then for my sans serif, I've been doing a lot of stuff in Pragmatica.
Yeah.
Which I love because I consider myself pragmatic. It's one of like my favorite words to say because I consider like, I don't know. I like, it's just something I like about myself and I like how the word sounds. But yeah, I've been doing a lot of stuff in Laura and Pragmatica.
I love it. I've had to stop myself because I keep putting Poppins. God, I love some
the
Poppins.
The X base is a little like, so Pragmatica is like, it's just a little like, I had a Poppins phase.
I'm still in my Poppins phase.
God, the day I discovered, so like, I've been a fan of Mrs. Eves for a very long time.
Yes.
The day I discovered Mr. Eves.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I was like, whoa.
Oh man, this is a good conversation. We should just do a whole episode.
We should do a mini episode on fonts.
I like fonts and our favorite. I picked my brand font just because I liked how the ampersand sand look
like it's a thing to do or like so where do you buy your fonts?
I kind of stick to Adobe fonts and Google fonts a lot. Mm-hmm. But that's because so much of what I'm doing is in the UX
world. So like UX off the table.
Yeah,
like what are you doing?
And also do like my fonts I go to a lot.
So I use a website called Creative Market.
Yeah,
I like them a lot for mock-up files. Mm-hmm. Their mock-up files are like top notch. I like their font selections and I like how their interface works, like how I can look through their font. Yeah. Like I find it's just fine tuned enough.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
And I like that I can go back and find old stuff. But my favorite thing to do on there is to like put the sentence or whatever I'm doing in the little preview thing, which like, y'all, that probably doesn't sound like a big deal because everybody,
it's the biggest deal.
Everybody can do it now because Adobe Fonts does it. Google Fonts does it. But for us elder millennial designers,
we couldn't do it before.
We couldn't do that for a long time. So you'd like fall in love with a font and then you download it and be like, it doesn't have an ampersand.
No, because all we knew was the brown fox was jumping over.
Right, right. And I'm like, what do you mean you don't have an M dash?
Right?
Oh, or that's so annoying. You ever found a font with no exclamation point? I'm like, sir.
This is the most designer episode.
I know. You've got to keep all this stuff in.
I feel about this.
You got to keep this stuff in because sometimes we get feedback. They're like, they don't really talk about design much. Yeah. So this is a longer
we
episode.
Never said we would.
Right. This is a longer episode, y'all, because we're getting in it.
Yeah.
I was prepping some files last night. I did a campaign and there's, oh my God, I don't know how many different assets. There's 16 variations of the design and then probably 20 different types of like collateral.
Yeah.
So like sometimes the copy is 2 lines long on a billboard. Sometimes it's 4 lines in a square on a rack card, right? It's all over the place. And so like, I refuse to leave one word like at the end.
No.
I cannot.
No.
But sometimes that means that the break up top is not ideal.
Yeah.
So I was like having that, that's what I was working on last night. And I was like, this is the stuff that just makes my brain go. And then, oh my God, last night, this campaign's been approved. I've been working on it for weeks. I wrote the copy.
Well, why did you do that to yourself?
It's fine. Is dinner time 1 or 2 words, Danielle?
1?
Mm-hmm.
Is it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I had to think hard about that.
Mm-hmm.
What'd you do?
It was 2 words.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So I fixed it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But then, like, when I fixed
it. Yeah.
I couldn't make it fit. So I had to drop the font size by 2 points. But if I dropped it 2 points on this document, I have to do it all the way down. I'm mad at myself.
Yeah.
And the amount.
And I will say, I said, I check that every time. But the one exception, if I'm like so many revisions in and I need this thing out the door and they keep changing copy on me, I'm like, you know what? We're going to go with this.
This is what happened to me last night. I realized it. I Googled it.
Yeah.
I checked AP. I always default to AP.
Yeah.
AP didn't have an opinion on it. Fine. Merriam-Webster's had its one word. And then a couple other places had it as one word. I desperately looked, which the journalism student in me is dying at this, but stick with me. I desperately looked for somewhere. Anywhere that said I could do it as 2 words so I could like keep the design as is.
Yeah.
So I could at least point to like, well, actually, like there's variation in this because if you do AP style, especially if you've been in an academic setting, like if you went to journalism school, they're like AP style. And then you went and took an English class and they're like MLA. And then like somebody's going to be like Chicago. And I'm like, that's a pizza. Like what's happening? I could not find a single place where it said it could be 2 words. And I was sitting there and I was like, nobody has to know. Nobody has to know.
No one has to know.
The client hasn't caught it. The likelihood that anybody's ever going to see it and know it.
Yeah.
And certainly maybe they see it and they don't know who you are. Eva,
no,
they're never going to find it.
They'll never know you.
You don't have to fix it.
You can get away with this.
You don't have to go change all your design and rewrap your copy.
Yeah.
You could just let it go. And I sat there and I was like, I cannot. And I fixed it all.
No.
I got to call it out to the client and be like, I fixed it. The journalism student in me.
Yeah, I get it.
I can't because I knew it was wrong.
I know. Sometimes the designer in me really hates words.
I know. Oh, I was so mad. If I was on a team, I would have kicked this back to a copywriter and be like, fix it.
Fix it now.
Fix it.
Definitely. There's so many times I've gone back to the copywriter. I'm like, this is great copy. It doesn't look great on my ad. Could you maybe just
And that's this? Like a thing. And so that's something that always like was always like a selling point a little bit for me coming like out of BizCom. I was like, so like, my early portfolio work, like, isn't as extensive and as deep as somebody who, like, just had a traditional, like, graphic design background. No, it wasn't, right? Like, I don't have a cool branding project to show you.
Yeah.
I don't have, like a mock-up of, like, a airline brand that I did. Like, I just don't. Maybe they're doing that now in the BizCom school. I don't know.
Yeah.
But they weren't when I was there. I was like, but I can tell you where to put a comma, and I can tell you, like, what to do with a semicolon.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert. Don't put it anywhere near here because people are going to trip over it. I know what an M dash is and an N dash is. And also, if I get this copy into a document and it doesn't look right, I can fix it and send it back to you and save time because I don't have to run back to a copywriter.
Sure.
Now, a copywriter needs to approve it.
Yeah.
But like I can tool some of this stuff on my own.
Right.
And it was always first in-house teams. It's incredibly valuable.
Oh, for sure.
So this is a longer one.
This was.
It's okay.
I might not even edit much.
I don't think we should look. We try to keep our episodes a little short, but like
for your commutes and for my sanity.
But you know,
I do have to actually do design work.
Yes,
on top of editing Ghost Boss.
But we talked about some actual design stuff today, which I think is cool. We don't always get in the weeds on that.
No, we don't. And some of you want to hear about design stuff, and we just don't know why. We just want to ramble about our days.
If you want to hear more design stuff,
listen to another podcast.
No. Send us a bunch of questions. We'll
take them.
Yeah. Yes, I would love to tell you about the project I worked on that had 30 something like type stuff, like paragraph styles.
Oh man.
Programmed in
Save
there.
It. Save it for another
so
day.
So good. All right, guys. Thanks for listening.
Thanks everyone.
See y'all next week.
Bye.
Remember to follow us on Instagram @GhostBossPodcast. And also please like and review us on your favorite podcast app.